I'm glad he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. All right. Second Chronicles with me, please. I'm going to preach fast. You're going to listen fast. All righty. And I've got some reading to do. And I read well to myself. But when I get in a congregation of people, sometimes I get sidetracked. And you preachers ain't like me. You don't get to reading and get to thinking about what you're supposed to have done before you left home, forgot about. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And I do want to just read a few verses. And there may be a word or two here I don't pronounce right. But, you know, it'll be all right. I may give some of these cats a different name. What was their mama thinking? Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee." Y'all get a hold of that. "Against thee, a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, there be Hezron Tamar," which is, in Gedi. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." This is getting serious. "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." When a multitude comes against you, you better pray. "Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers.'" Now, this is his prayer. I'm going to read the prayer here. "And he said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, that then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Man, what a prayer. Well, how do you know it was a good prayer? Because the Lord's answering. "Then upon Jezahel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, 'Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, O King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this multitude, for the battle," I like this, this is the text verse, "for the battle is not yours, but God's." Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, they're going to be, there's a bunch of people. I'm going to put it in layman's terms, there's a crowd coming after y'all. And they already admitted, we can't handle them. And the Lord sent a word, said, "Hey, don't you worry about it. Don't get dismayed. Don't get tore up. Don't get down the mouth. This battle's not yours, but it's God's." You know what he said? "Y'all ain't fighting today. God's fighting." Woo, that's better than snuff, not half as dusty. Some of you country people understand that. You northerners will explain later. Amen. Now, where was I? Verse 16, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, of the children of the Kohenites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice. I'm about done with the reading. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, ye shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he anointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped destroy another. You know what? All the enemies killed each other. What's God's people doing? Singing, shouting, praising God, having a good time, and the enemies are killing themselves. Hallelujah. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth. None escaped. Now, get a hold of this. Now, I'm getting to the message. God's given me so much while I'm trying to butcher this reading that a multitude was coming against them. And when they prayed, God spoke and said, "This battle's not yours, but it's mine." And the Lord didn't have to raise a pinky. He confused the enemies. He brought them to a place where they didn't know what they were doing for a spell. And God's people showed up to do nothing but sing and praise God. Now, I want to use that to preach, the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. Now, again, I'm going to go through quickly. Now, Jehoshaphat, he's the fourth king of Judah. Jehoshaphat, he was a good man. In chapter number 17, verse number 3, the Lord said this about him. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So here was a king. His dad Asa wasn't right with God, but he made a decision. He said, "I'm not going that way. I'm not going the way of Balaam. I'm not going in the way that's ungodly." He made a decision as the leader. I'm leading these people back to God. Amen. So I'm going to tell y'all something. You have a decision to make. Which way are you going? As a child of God, you can go the way of Balaam, or that's a picture of the world. That's your decision. Or you can say, you know what? I'm breaking the cycle. Jehoshaphat, he could have said, "You know what? I'm just going to go the way I know." And the only way he knew was the wrong way. Balaam, idol worship, sexual immorality, wickedness that we couldn't say in the mixed congregation. That's where Israel was, and that's all Jehoshaphat had been taught. But you know what he said? "I ain't going that way. My daddy went that way. My mama went that way. My siblings went that way. My country went that way. I ain't going that way. I'm not going that way. I'm walking in the ways that David walked that please God." Hey, young people, middle-aged people, older folks, we all have that decision to make every day. Which way are we going? Which way are you going to go? Jehoshaphat went the right way. Now, in the text, we have an invasion in verses 1 and 2. In verses 3 through 12, we have an intercession. We have an announcement. Then we have an anguish in prayer. But then we have an interference. Not only announcement proclaimed, anguish in prayer, but now we have an answer and assured promise. God interfered. I like when God butts in. Verse 20 through 22, we have active praise. Verse 23 and 24, we have accomplished provision. God provided what he said. Now, I'm going to say something to you. There's some things, get a hold of this, church. There's some things God wants to do for you, and you don't lift a finger. There are some things. How many times did Israel go forth and battled? Some battles God wants us to go into, and he works through us in the battle as we fight. But sometimes things can come in our life that God says, hey, I don't want you to do anything. That's why we need to keep short accounts with God. We can listen to the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, and know when God says, hey, stand still or move forward. In this place, we have an example in this text where God said, y'all not fighting. It doesn't matter who all's coming. All y'all going to do is have church. I'll fight. And there's sometimes in our own lives where God will tell you, hey, back off. Don't do anything. Stop. I'm going to fight this for you. And know the difference, and God will show you the difference. See, he wants to simply reveal himself and remind us he's totally in control of our lives, even things around us and things that are coming at us. How does God reveal himself? You ever thought about that? How in our day, how does God reveal himself? Well, he revealed himself in creation. Amen. Right. Man had nothing to do with that. Right. He revealed himself in Christ. Amen. Man had nothing to do with that. He reveals himself in Christians, him working through us. He reveals himself in conversion, saving sinners. And he reveals himself in the canon of scriptures, the word of God, and he reveals himself in circumstances in our life. God will reveal himself, and that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing a circumstance in the life of Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah and Jerusalem. We find here an invasion's coming. Word has already been sent. Jehoshaphat and God's people, they are all to pieces, and I don't blame them. They're tore up. They're dismayed. They're in a mess, and they do what they should do. They call a fast and begin to pray. That's something Christians don't do much of these days, and that's fasting. Amen. I knew a preacher, he's with the Lord now, he fasted 3 days every week. Now again, well, he had his reward, he's bragging on it. No, that's not what he was doing. He was teaching us a lesson. And folks, some things only come by prayer and fasting. You know, the disciples couldn't figure out why they couldn't cast out the devil out of the boy. You remember that? And when the Lord come off the Mount Transfiguration, it's chaos down at the foot of the mountain. And the Lord said, and them guys, the disciples said, Lord, we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. He said, this kind cometh but by prayer and fasting. See, some of our toughest battles, and we get in a circumstance that's way above our head. Sometimes all we can do is pray and fast. And that's what Jehoshaphat, he had enough God in him to say, look, he called for a fast among the people. That wasn't a secret. He was so burdened, and the people got burdened. And folks, they had such a burden, I doubt they wanted to eat. Folks, sometimes we fast, and it may be the burden so great, we just simply don't want to eat. We're not able to eat. Have you ever fasted that way? The circumstance and the burden has been so great that you're unable to eat, and you fasted certain days or certain hours, and you got with God. That's what's going on in the text. They begin to fast, they begin to pray, and God revealed Himself. And He let them know, hey, I'm really going to show y'all who that I am. Now, I got three thoughts. I'm going to give them to you in 15 minutes. I have three thoughts here. How about God revealing Himself? The battle is not yours. Look at the text. Why did God reveal Himself? Number one, God revealed to these people, He always has a purpose. Get a hold of that. That's simple truth, but we forget it. Whatever is in your life right now, whatever the circumstance, no matter how hard and rough and high it is, don't ever forget that God revealed He is always has a purpose. He'll reveal that to you. He'll reveal Himself to you that He has a purpose. Now, preacher, what do you mean? Folks, in verse number 10, notice that with me. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Verse number 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, what do you mean? That's not a coincidence. So you know what's happening here? Here's what they didn't know. They got a word on this side that the enemies are coming. But what they didn't know is God's calling for the fight. See, these Moabites and his crowd thought they were calling for the fight. God called for the fight. You ever get a hold of that? Well, the devil's fighting. Maybe God called for the fight. But why would He do that? To reveal Himself to you. Preacher, I just disagree with that. That's fine. That's no problem. I may be wrong, but it's good preaching right now, and I believe it's right. Because it's very clear that He gave us multitude in verse number 2. It's very clear that the people coming against them, even Jehoshaphat said, we can't whip this crowd. We have no chance. Oh, Lord, what's going on? And God said, hey, He's letting them know, I'm calling them in. And they didn't even know it. They didn't have enough sense to know. God put it in their mind to do it. Preacher, why would you say that? God give us a free will. You believe that God is sovereign? And He's got a hedge around His children. God called for that fight. Amen. God called, that wasn't a coincidence that they all got up one morning and said, let's all align together and let's all get together and let's go destroy Judah and Jerusalem. God put it in their mind. Why? So He could bring a fight to them that they know they couldn't beat, but He could do it easily. Sometimes we don't get it. Could be God called for that fight. And He called for that fight because this is a fight that He wants you to do what? Just praise Him through. He don't want you to try to figure it out. He don't want you to try to settle it. He don't want you to roll up your spiritual shirt sleeves and go to swinging. He just wants you to say, oh Lord my God, and thine awesome wonder, consider all the world's thy hands. He just wants you to sing. He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to just stand there and watch Him whip the multitude. And all you're doing is singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and show you He's got a purpose in revealing Himself to you that He's bigger than all you got going on. He's bigger than that. Amen. Hey, folks, get that. Do you think that storm, when the Lord constrained the disciples to go to the other side, do you think that was a coincidence that the storm came up? God put them in the boat and called for the storm. Get that. God put them in the boat, go to the other side, and say, hey, storm, attack. Is he not? Does he not control the firmament? Does he not control the storms, the rain? Hey, that wasn't a coincidence. God put them in the boat, stayed on top of the mountain, prayed for them, said, hey, storm, get them. And they couldn't handle it. Jesus walked on top of it. Revealed who he revealed himself. What may, behold, they said, what manner of man is this, that the winds and the sea obey him? Wasn't a coincidence. God called for the storm. Hey, what about Joseph, the Old Testament? You talking about a man that got mistreated? All he done was talk about a dream he had. Here's a practical lesson. Be careful telling you who you tell your dreams to. Don't give too much of your business out. Not everybody's for you. Not everybody's going to clap for you. Some going to try to destroy you once they see God's using you. Be careful. You ain't got to tell everything. Tell what God told you to tell and be quiet about the rest of it. But anyway, I ain't getting sidetracked. It's going too good. He got sold by his brothers. Well, they was going to sell him. Then he got stolen out of the pit. The Midianites got him. And of course, we know the Egyptians got bought into Egyptian Egypt. And we know all this story. Potiphar's wife in prison 2 years. And all this stuff that's went on. Was that a coincidence? No. Preacher, how you know? Well, Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 20. Here's Joseph talking to his brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. See, on your side, you thought you was really, you're doing something to me when all the while God put it in you to do it. See, we miss that. God will use your enemies to bless you. To put you, hey, sometimes if your enemy didn't do something or something negative, you wouldn't go where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do. That circumstance did it, and God called for it. Let me read that. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You may not see it all at once. Joseph didn't. But you know what Joseph did through it all? He stayed right with God. He never got bitter, never got mad, never throwed up his hands and quit. You know what he done? He said, it's all God's. That wasn't a coincidence. God ordered the multitude to come against Jehoshaphat. Okay, God ordered the storm. God ordered the brothers. What about Job? That wasn't a coincidence. We know the story. God ordered that. He allowed, hey, have you considered my servant Job? God brought that up. Well, Satan come and said, I want Job. No, he didn't. He didn't think he could get him. God offered him. God called, there's a purpose. He proved to Satan Job wasn't in it for naught, or what I'm getting. He proved that. And hey, God may be calling for a multitude to come against you, but he's going to fight. He may be calling for a storm to come against you, but he's walking on it. He may be calling for somebody to come against you, but in the end, he'll get the last word. Amen. 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 What an accident. What a coincidence. God revealed he always has a purpose. Christian, God's always got a purpose. If God's chasing you, he'll let you know, but there's a purpose to produce holiness in you. He's always got a purpose, even in chastisement. But he's got a purpose in building your life. And he'll show you that he's bigger than the problem, the pain, the pressure, the procedure, the people. He'll show you he's bigger. He'll show you he's bigger. The battle's not yours. It's God's. God revealed he's always has a purpose. But then secondly, God revealed to them his passion. He revealed that he cared for them. Now, folks, I want you to get a hold of this. And I don't want to say it too quick. But up to this point, Israel had been backslid most of the time. Get a hold of that. Israel had been backslid most of the time. They'd been such against God, one wicked king after another. Let them off into idol worship and all this stuff we tried to mention a while ago, to be tactful, all this stuff. But now we see a king trying to do right, and he calls on God, and God could have said, "Hey, Jehoshaphat, you're a good man, but them people you that's following you, I remember what they did. I remember how they used to live. I remember how they turned from me to idols. They're going to get what's coming to them. I don't care." That ain't what he did, was it? Hey, folks, let's just be honest. Can we be honest on Wednesday night? We spend more time than we want to admit with a backslidden heart. Yeah, we spend more time we want to admit with a backslidden heart. We may not be in active, open sin, but our heart is a problem. It's desperately wicked, the Bible said. Who can know it? And it's really, if you think of it on our mindset and scale, Brother Jack, it's a wonder if the Lord even lets me speak His name or pray. Here come a multitude against them, which really, they deserved a good whipping. Am I right? Stood him up to this point. Jehoshaphat was a good man, but the kings before him, they was wicked. This crowd that is following him was involved in all of that until they got a king that said, "You ain't doing it no more," that has still been doing it. Right. That's right. The deed might have stopped, but I don't know about the heart. Amen. Right. Jehoshaphat said, "We're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to get right with God, we're going to get a hold of the Lord." And God moved on their behalf in spite of them. Aren't you thankful that God will move on your behalf in spite of you and in spite of me? Glory. I'm going to say something right here. This message, it's mine, but it came from a thought that Preacher McMillan preached in 1990, the Harvest Baptist Church. And I did steal his title. No, he willed his sermons to me, so it's my title now. I got them all, man. And I was, preacher used to put his sermons on note cards. I'd use his note cards, and I'm reading those note cards. I said, "Man, I'm using that." Some of you preacher boys want to buy some here. They're $100 a bundle. Boy, I guess somebody said, Andrew said, "I'll see you Friday." Amen. One thing he did I didn't think to do, he on the back of those sermons, he put the date on them. Harvest Baptist Church. I can't remember the month, but it was a month and day in 1990. That he preached this text. And me reading those note cards today, God got it stirring in my heart. And I thought about that. I thought about God reveals himself and shows that he has a purpose, but he also reveals himself to let us know, "I have a passion for you. I care for you." These people didn't deserve that. I mean, honestly, folks, their history. Where's a songbook when you need one? Their history. They deserve to be annihilated. They deserve to be, I mean, man, they lived most of their life following ungodly kings against God and finally get a king that's going to do right, and their heart ain't all the way right yet, and then all of a sudden they get to fasting and praying, and God says, "Hey, I'm going to show y'all how much I love y'all. Not because you deserve it, but just because I love you." Y'all just, hey, Jehoshaphat, let's get a choir together. Let's get some singers together. While I'm whipping them, I want to hear some music. Whoop. While I'm beating the daylights out of that crowd for y'all, I want to hear Amazing Grace. Hey, it's bad he had to command it. The Lord knew that. Hey, man, God just showed me that. He knew how backslidden their heart was. They weren't going to sing unless God told them to. They should have been shouting, jumping, hollering, screaming, praising God. But the Lord said, hey, I know y'all won't do it unless I say so. Jehoshaphat, I'm going to choir together. While I'm making these enemies beat the tar at each other and kill each other, I want to hear some singing. He didn't say that. I want to hear some singing. I want to hear the king start a celebration when I get there. I want to hear amazing. I want y'all to rejoice. And folks, can you imagine? I mean, get a hold of this. God worked it out to a T. All of them died. The last two had to kill each other. You talking about perfect timing? Whoop! At the same time, the last two drop. And maybe, I got a wild imagination, but maybe their last word was, I ain't believing this. And that bunch didn't even deserve it. They didn't even deserve it. God said, I'm going to show you I always have a purpose. I'm going to show you how much I care for you. Even though you've done nothing to earn it. Aren't y'all glad? I'm glad it's not about what I can earn. Or what I can deserve. Because the only thing I deserve is hell. But God. And folks, in the days of battle, in the days of hardship, in the days of discouragement, whatever, the sickness, everything, God still hears me. And says, you don't have to do nothing right now, Tommy. You don't have to do one thing. I didn't even think about it Sunday. Folks were coming to the altar, and I was getting down with people to pray. And I didn't think about it all the way to the back door. Somebody said, we was worried about you getting down there like that. And folks, I'm not bragging on me. Because my wife lives with me. I ate and grown my own all day. But God did something for me. Matter of fact, Miss Jimmy Ann stopped me and said, I don't know what you're taking, but I want it. I said, I can't help you. I'm about out. Amen. God just, hey, you don't have to do anything. I'm going to prove to you. I got a purpose, and that purpose is I'm going to show you that nothing can touch you unless I say so. And he revealed himself that he has a purpose. Folks, as you know, Israel goes up and down in their spiritual life. But if nothing don't show you that God's for you, it's to tell you to stand and rejoice and sing and shout while he fights a battle that's way bigger than you, for you. And you don't have to lift a finger. Nothing should tell us, man, God, does the Lord love me? What do you mean? He's fighting your battles. Notice thirdly, and we'll be finished. God revealed he's always has a purpose. He revealed to them his passion. But then, of course, this goes without saying, but it's the last thought. He revealed to them his power. He revealed to them his power. Folks, you know the last battle with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast, and you know the battle of Armageddon. And we know that the rapture is technically, maybe we could call it the first phase of the second coming, but it's actually not the second coming, it's the rapture of the church. The second coming is when the Lord puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives. But we understand he's coming back on a white horse and us behind him. And all the enemies of hell and the enemies of the world, the Gentiles, power, they're all against Israel. They're all against him. They're all fighting against him. Against them. And the Lord comes back with a great army behind him. That's us. But the Bible said he defeats them with the sword of his mouth. It's amazing how God can fight and never fight. Get a hold of that one. God can fight and never fight. He's showing Israel again. After the years of rejecting him as their Messiah, as their Savior, and they'll finally recognize him then. And he still shows them, I have a purpose for y'all. I have passion for y'all. And just look how powerful I am. Hey, friend, I don't know what you're going through, but God has a purpose in what he's doing. And just make sure if he tells you to stay out of it, stay out of it. Let him fight. Not everything that comes your way deserves your opinion. You know, everybody's wanting to analyze everything. Well, I know why you're going. No, you don't. Be quiet. Sometimes just stand still. That's what he said. How many times did he tell you, just stand still, be quiet. I got it. Now, sometimes he said, go to fight. But several times in the Scripture, he told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Folks, it may be a time you just need to just to stand still and wait. Don't move if God tells you not to move. But he never tells you to stop worshiping. Amen. He'll tell you not to war, but he'll tell you to worship. And you may have to spend some agonizing time in prayer and fasting. Well, why does God require fasting? To see how serious you are about the matter. You going to deny your flesh or not? Then he'll show you his power. He'll show you his power. Jehoshaphat and Judah and Jerusalem, they saw God do a great work. And they saw what God can do, which is everything. Folks, this story, it amazes me how the Lord done that. He sent an ambush. What was the ambush? They ambushed themselves. Folks, if you're like me, I'm into that kind of stuff. Or if stuff like that and strategic and battle. I mean, God set an ambush. They ambushed themselves and killed each other. Folks, sometimes God will set your enemies to a place they'll destroy themselves. You don't have to run to defend yourself. I used to try to run stuff down. Y'all have heard me say all that stuff. I ain't doing that no more. If you don't believe it, believe it. I can't help it. I'm too old to worry about it. If it's true, wait, God, you'll see God whip me. If not, he'll whip you. Amen. Just let God fight. Let's let God fight. The enemy stood around trying to figure out ways to drop Israel. They get them sidetracked for a little while, then God show up because he was for them. And church, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let's all stand. Court, you coming. The altar's open. Thank you for your patience.